Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. This morning, Yuma law enforcement has been participating in the Torch Run for Special Olympics. Yuma Police Department has raised over $35,000 to help raise funds for the Special Olympics athletes of Yuma. Read more about it, YumaDailyNews.com. Twitter has been cracking down on posts that spread dangerously false stories on the platform. Tesla billionaire Elon Musk has been aiming to make Twitter a free speech platform. Read more about the new policies, YumaDailyNews.com. At least 14 children have died at an elementary school in Texas in the mass shooting incident. The governor for Texas says the shooter was killed. Officials say the shooter is an 18-year-old in the community. More on this, YumaDailyNews.com. A 6-year-old woman from Yuma has been hit by a car after she walked off the sidewalk. She was taken to the hospital where she died. Alcohol does not seem to be involved. YumaDailyNews.com. If you have ideas for local news stories, you could always send us an email. That email is newsroom@YumaDailyNews.com. Go ahead and send us your story and we'll take a look. That's the news for now. I'm Kendra White.
Good morning, Yuma. This is Chamber Chatter, only the good stuff from the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And, of course, this morning, as always, we have Russ Clark. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
Good morning. Causing trouble already, aren't you?
Of course.
Of course. I know. Well, that's okay. That's what we love you for, right?
I hope so. That's all you get.
Okay. Well, there we go. Well, and this morning, we have someone joining us. We have Jim Schuessler with the Arizona Western College Small Business Development Corp. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Kim. Good morning, Russ. Happy to be with you both.
Well, good. See, he's starting off on a good foot.
He is. So, Jim, how long have you been there now? It's only been a couple of months,
couple
right?
Couple months. I really haven't been marking time, but it's been a couple months now and a lot of activity thus far.
Yeah, of course. You bring him in here with that kind of experience. You
know, I do.
He may leave Yuma.
No, he won't, because he was here before. Because I met him. Because he was the head of the Multiversity Project.
Okay. Got here just before the pandemic took root, and was working on the Yuma Multiversity Campus Project for the last couple of years.
Right.
Before AWC recruited me to come over and lead the SBDC.
Right, and was it yesterday or was it last week that you still were talking about the Multiversity?
Yesterday.
You've kind of found it hard to leave.
It must have been. Well, you know, I certainly committed that I would carry the ball
right.
as long as could reasonably be done. And yesterday was a coming out first time out in the public with Multiversity and with the completion of phase two of the project.
Okay.
So it had been done, you know, in the confines of the consultant, all the people that participated, the hundreds of people that participated in focus groups, individual interviews. And then yesterday through the Growing Our Own symposium,
right.
it was its first coming out session. And it was fun to be able to present some of the findings and recommendations.
Perfect. And so what are you bringing to SBDC then?
Well, yeah, I'll tell you, we're standing on a strong foundation.
Of course.
There's a legacy there. Randy Nelson, was there for, I think, a couple decades.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of great work has been done here in the Yuma region, Yuma and La Paz counties, over that period of time. And so just kind of thinking about the work that he did and, Castillo Bell, same thing. She did wonderful work there. So one of the first things that I've done, I've got a lot of experience working with the SBDC when I served in economic development up in Wisconsin. We did tens of millions of dollars of activity each year up there, working with the economic development organization that I worked with, and SBDC was a strong partner. So I'm definitely seeing some opportunities for investment so that we can move into some additional best practices for the future.
Mm-hmm.
I surveyed there are 10 districts across Arizona. So I surveyed Coconino, Pima, and Cochise counties.
Okay.
And we have similarities and dissimilarities with those counties. There's a definite need for investment so
mm-hmm.
that we can make sure that we can provide our region with the best infrastructure available and, of course, well-trained staff to deal with clients. And so AWC has been Ritika Dewan, who's the hardest who
everybody
working
knows.
Person in Southwest Arizona.
I like her.
Ritika is whom I report to, and she has been, and Dr. Kaur have been very supportive of making the investments necessary so that we can really provide the service that we need to. So looking back at that foundation of success, we're also looking forward to make sure that we can provide all the resources that we need to ensure a strong and vibrant future in business development.
So, you know, in talking with you, you know, we met last week with another organization as well, because we work closely together. I mean, the Chamber and SBDC are, you know, long-term partners.
Absolutely.
So my question is, but for those businesses out there that aren't perhaps as familiar with SBDC, what services are offered to the businesses here in town?
So first of all, who qualifies? It's small to medium-sized businesses. That criteria generally cuts off at 500 employees or less.
That's big to me.
That's medium.
Yeah, that's medium.
So if it's an entrepreneur looking at getting into the business, they might have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at getting into business for the first time. They maybe want to acquire an existing business.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely are a place for them to engage. If it's an existing business that's looking to expand, if it's an existing business that might be looking to for a succession plan, mm-hmm. they might be getting ready to sell. We provide no-cost services to them. That's something that I should stress is virtually all of our services are no-cost. The Small Business Administration provides funding to the SBDC,
mm-hmm.
and that's that matched with an investment from AWC is how we can provide those services at no cost. So we can, from one day to the next, work with somebody that's looking at setting up a TPT, you know, setting up their sales tax, you know, for a small business, setting up an LLC. We work with succession planning every week. You know, mm-hmm. we have activity on that. If somebody wants to get in the business for the first time, or if they're looking for funding for an expansion, we work with them with business plans. We set up a set of financials, what we call a pro forma,
mm-hmm.
And then overlay some description, the story of the business, mm-hmm. The narrative that goes with it, and then get them ready for a lender. Sometimes, quite often, it's SBA lending, but it can be just conventional commercial lending as well. We really like to provide them with a lot of options. That foundation of those financials and that business plan is just a really important part of that process. And what we did when I was working, as I said, when I was doing this up in Wisconsin, is we had systems that just operated very efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking at developing some of those same systems here that can really get those entrepreneurs ready for that.
What kind of systems, Jim? Are you talking about training systems? Or?
Well, you know, working with entrepreneurs and working with small business owners, we actually do bring education and training. But kind of the system that I'm referring to, Russ, is for example, let me take an example of somebody that wants to acquire. They've never been in business, and they want to start a franchise business. That's one way that they can go.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a strong military community here in our region.
Yes, mm-hmm. we do.
A lot of military retirees. 30% of all franchise owners are former military.
I never heard that.
Wow.
That's a substantial number.
Mm-hmm.
So, because systems are very important in the military, systems are very important. Mm-hmm. You know, with franchises too.
Makes sense. It does.
So let's say we've got an entrepreneur wants to engage in the potential of bringing a franchise business
mm-hmm.
to their neighborhood or somewhere within their community. We work with them. We take all the information from the franchise. So it may have an X percentage for advertising. There are certain criteria
right.
that they fall into. We start building up what we call a financial pro forma,
mm-hmm.
predicted revenue based on data that we can provide, and then predicted expenses based on some of the feedback from the franchisor, as well as some of the things that we can generate locally. Then we project that over a 3-year period.
Okay.
Now, when that's all said and done, all of these performers have one thing in common. They're wrong. But there is science behind them because things happen, right?
But they give you some guidelines and expectations to work with.
Absolutely. So when you get in front of a lender, we prepare them, you know, for that lender. Exactly. Because actually presenting a business plan is a sales presentation.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And so they definitely, when the lender gets it, they're going to zoom back to the numbers. Mm-hmm. So we really want to prepare them for what's the story that's behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often, entrepreneurs, one thing I have to point out is that we're very confidential, so we can't share individual stories unless right. we're given permission.
We'll turn the mics off.
But quite often we have an entrepreneur that comes up with an idea or a business, some sort of business idea, based mm-hmm. on something that happened in their life, or if it's problem solving. You know, they're trying to build a better mousetrap. Is mm-hmm. is an entrepreneur coming up with something? You know, intellectual mm-hmm. property is another area where we can provide support for. So it's it just depends on, no two entrepreneurs are alike. And so we treat them all individually with confidentiality and do everything we can to bring our services to support their ideas.
And I have a lot more questions on that, but you need to take a break first.
Okay, well then let's take a break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
The temperatures are on the rise. Plenty of sunshine, lots of heat. Today through the weekend. So if you do have outdoor plans, be prepared for the extended period of hot weather. 102 the high this afternoon, 103 tomorrow, and 104 Friday. We do cool down just a little bit Saturday around 102, and by Sunday, temperatures near 100, just slightly cooler. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
We're talking today with Plan Z dieter Mary.
I had added 20 pounds to what I'd lost from gastric bypass, and I wanted to get that off, and I wanted something fast because I need fast results or you lose interest. I looked at a lot of different diets, trying Weight Watchers, Nutrisystems, and I decided I need to find out how to stop this.
Mary's not alone. She wanted to stop the yo-yo dieting. It's obvious she tried a lot of things, including gastric bypass surgery, and she still needed help.
And so I tried Plan Z and lost 29 pounds, had great results. The best thing was, after the first 10 days on the diet, I felt wonderful, but I had lost 4 inches of belly fat around my middle.
You want to lose the belly fat? You want to learn how to get weight off quickly and keep it off? Check out PlanZDiet.com. PlanZDiet.com.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And, of course, we have Russ Clark. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we have Jim Schussler from Arizona Western College's Small Business Development Corp, SBDC. We all know it as SBDC. That just comes out faster.
That works.
It does work. As long as everybody else who's listening knows what we're talking about, we're good, right? So, I mean, Russ, you said you had lots of questions before the break.
I did, and I told him off air, you know, I had a young entrepreneur come in my office to talk to me, which I kind of like doing occasionally, and come in and talk to him, and I'll spend any kind of amount of time with him to do it. But, and I probably do differently than you would do from it. I mean, I don't mind giving advice. Do you do advice? Advice like, don't do this?
We encounter entrepreneurs that are headed toward decisions that I would consider in the wrong direction or getting things out of the wrong order. We generally don't say black and white, don't do this.
But you'll mm-hmm. point out pitfalls?
We absolutely will. And I can think of some stories right now. And sometimes we're successful in helping them keep things in the right order. And sometimes they plow ahead. But that's one of the advantages of having the SBDC. Is so that you can actually have people that will be that devil's advocate, and just you're not trying to talk them out of an idea, but number one, you don't want people to take on unnecessary expense until they have all their ducks in a row, until the plan's ready for prime time.
Oh, absolutely. But at what point does it become, counseling and advice on how to run a business versus a direction on how to accomplish what they're asking for? Because sometimes they don't have the questions.
Yeah. And we end up asking a lot of questions. So much of our job, the initial triage appointment that we have with an entrepreneur or a small business owner is asking a lot of questions and definitely listening to some of the things they have to say, and maybe asking questions that are not so much direct, although some of them are just direct questions, but you kind of probe around a little bit and ask some things on the side. And that's when you'll find some of the most revealing things there. There are countless, and this is in my time prior to here, just working on the economic development side, when I can think of successes that we had a small part in, you know, because we helped them get things in the right order. In the county where I served in economic development up in Wisconsin, I mean, you could go, you know, down streets, you know, throughout various communities, and you'd have stories that you could share about those. So it's asking a lot of questions. It's doing a lot of listening. It's finding out, making sure that you understand what they want. You know, what is it that they're coming in, rather than what I want them to do. And you know, at the end of it, you have to make sure that you've really focused on the issues that they want to engage.
If somebody comes in and says, I just want help with advertising, and you start asking about the business and realize, what the heck are you advertising? You haven't got anything done yet. I mean, you obviously say, wait a minute, before we get to that, we've got some other programs. And I don't know what your level of involvement is at that point.
Well, marketing specifically is one of our core competencies. And I started out in 1984 in the television business as an entry-level sales guy. Mm-hmm. And over the course of a couple decades, moved up through the sales ranks into management. Ultimately, I became CEO of the entire company. And the only reason that I stopped doing that is number one, I was on the road constantly, and it was decided by the board and myself that we were going to start selling ourselves, out of work. But I was an equity player, and it was a very good situation, you know, for our family. But that marketing experience is something that I've always loved. So working with entrepreneurs on their marketing plans is something that I just love. And it's one of those things that you kind of spend working on when you're driving, you're thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So I prefer to think of it more as marketing than advertising. The biggest thing is how, you know, the media have changed, you know, over the years.
Oh, big.
And so I really probe a lot of the people, I guess you'd call them the, you know, young professionals, the people that would be the millennials and the generation that's coming behind them, to find out what's really working for them. It's different. So it depends on the business. You know, who are we trying to reach? What are the demographics? Can you expand those demographics and how to do that?
And in asking all those questions, you realize they don't have a business plan.
Well,
do you say, like, let's back up and work on some fundamentals? Do you do that?
Absolutely.
You do?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, you were telling during the break about a gentleman I just tried
to help the other day, and 3 months experience, and he's basically a kid, you know, which mm-hmm. is, he's a teenager,
right?
Which is, God bless him for
stepping. But
good
stepping. For him for trying to start something.
Oh, yeah. That's I wish awesome. Everybody would.
I know.
I love it. And as you were telling that story, I was thinking about some very easy ways to, excuse me, to market that business.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I had a lot, and they didn't include what he thought it was.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Low overhead business. I mean, so there's not a big cost of entry for that particular business that you were talking about. So it's that's the kind of engagement that I enjoy. Every story is different. Every entrepreneur is different, and you don't always end up where you think you're going to end
up. But if you see a hole, like this young entrepreneur obviously needs a lot of understanding about different aspects, mm-hmm. you know, like how to set up an LLC, you know, do you or do you not need insurance? How do you do the marketing? How do you do pricing? How do you price your product? How do you do market research? Those kind of things. Do you have opportunities for educational opportunities in all of those venues?
Every one of those.
Okay.
Every one of those and more. So that's the wonderful thing about the SBDC is it's not just a statewide organization with 10 districts, as I mentioned, mm-hmm. statewide, but it's a national organization, and it has the whole power of the Small Business Administration. The rule of thumb, and something that's talked about in the Boots to Business program, which is something that's offered through VBOC.
Are you familiar with Boots to Business, Russ?
Nope.
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and take a kick at that?
Why do I have to take a kick at that? Okay.
Because you've taught it as well.
So, yeah. So the Boost to Business is a program offered by VBOC that basically they go to different military bases, and people who are ready to leave the military, or they could stay in. I've seen spouses take the class.
I know what that
is. Exactly. And they basically learn the basics of how to start their own business. And so I teach market research, which, as I mentioned even before, I'm like, it's a very dry subject, but it's huge.
Market research is dry?
It is very dry.
I didn't know that.
Very dry, but it is important.
She's being humbled because my first week, when was my first week? It was when the last B2B was a Boots of Business
at MCAS.
Was at MCAS, and you taught that section, Kim, and the feedback I was getting from the folks that were participating is they love that section. And I went and did it at Fort Huachuca. Over in Sierra Vista several weeks ago. And I kind of had that in the back of my mind is the response that they had to you and trying to channel the great things that you did there. So you were inspiring, you know, on that. But it's a great program, going back to the fact that many of those folks, if they do retire or a spouse, can benefit from those things. And one of the things that they tell you in that class is 80% of you are going to fail. And it's a fact that 80% of small businesses fail in the first few years. I take exception to that, though, that 80% of well-planned businesses, they don't fail.
Right.
Okay, so working with entrepreneurs the way we do and other organizations like us really brings down the risk.
So 80% overall, not 80% of the Boots to Business fail.
No.
Okay,
I was going to say, you guys need to fix something.
Yeah,
exactly. Right.
Because the people in Boots to Business are learning exactly the steps that they need to do. But unfortunately, you know, Boots to Business isn't available to everyone.
And hopefully that's why
we have SBDC.
And some of the B2B program is really kind of casting seeds because not everybody falls through right away. But I've got an appointment later this week, actually, with someone that took that class several months ago. And now they're ready to move forward. So we don't expect all of those folks to move forward immediately, but it's nice casting that seed. And then some people decide, hey, this isn't for me. You know, this is a heck of a commitment.
And that's a successful opportunity also because you save them from a mistake.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. People can destroy their lives, you know, if they go all in on something.
Yeah, I mean, how many restaurants had a mom's secret recipe to spaghetti so I can open up a restaurant? But they knew nothing about business.
And that's a huge issue that I found with, you know, people that I know that have started businesses. They had a great idea, like mom's secret recipe for her spaghetti or something like that. And they had a great idea, but with no business background, the business was destined to have issues right from the beginning.
There's a show on television on ABC called Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's not the real world. But my wife and I enjoy watching it because I do enjoy, you know, watching, first of all, the sales presentation that they make, immediately doing the numbers in my head, kind of finding where they're getting with their projections and that sort of thing. And then the dialogue, you know, that's going back and forth. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned restaurants. One of the things that they talked about, there was somebody on the most recent episode, I think it just aired this last week, with somebody that's in Austin and San Antonio. And they have a plant-based chicken recipe that apparently is very flavorful.
Okay.
But I'm asking the questions, and these would be things that I'd be asking, you know, if this was happening at the office at AWC or when we take our show on the road, as we do in several places throughout the district, is what are, you know, what are the selling propositions for? Is it healthier? And in this case, the answer was no. Is it more cost-effective? In this case, no. It's not. As a matter of fact, it's more expensive. Mm-hmm. So they told a story about a restaurant chain that grew too fast. They got up to 30, 35 stores. I wasn't familiar with the chain that they talked about, but the whole thing blew up. So there's an example. It came.
When you say blew up good or
gone,
bad? Gone. Disappeared.
Gone. Okay. Disappeared. Can't find it when you Google it.
All right.
And but Cane's Chicken Fingers, for example, is a business that started working in part with the Small Business Development side.
Really?
Yeah, so now there's an example of a great success,
and I know a lot of great successes because they're visible, and you find out the history and how they grew and stuff like that.
But there's a podcast out there called How I Made This, and one of my colleagues at the SBDC, Armando Esparza, introduced me to the podcast, and so I'm listening to it on the way here this morning, and so when I'm not listening to this radio station, you know, listening to that, because you're inspired by the entrepreneurial stories.
Right. he really is polishing the apple.
He's, he is, you know, he's,
smart guy.
He's good at what he does. As I say,
I come from electronic media. My roots are definitely in it, and so I definitely value the importance of it. And it's important for our small businesses too. Is having local options in order to promote their businesses.
How many small businesses do you think really know about what you do?
Well, never enough.
Okay.
We're in the process of building our team, as I'd mentioned. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had a retirement and another change. And so we're in the process of building our team up right now. So when we get that team in place and ensure that we have the adequate training, we'll be going forward with a significant marketing campaign of our own.
Oh, really?
Now, we are doing some marketing, but we're making sure that we can handle everything that's in the pipeline, because there are some huge projects and some significant small projects.
But you know, I've mentioned it to people many times over the years to visit, and they go, "Wow, I never thought of that." It's not like they don't know completely; it doesn't exist, but there's a little vagueness on what exactly you do, and is that something I could just go in and ask a question?
Yeah. You know? So and there's a hesitancy.
Yes.
Of, is this going to cost me something? And that's one thing we respect. That we respect that. So that's why we talk about no cost consultation right up front to kind of bring that barrier down a little bit. I've never heard a question from an entrepreneur or small business owner that was a stupid question.
I'm going to have to think of one. But right now you need to take a break.
Okay, we'll take a break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
When it's hot, the last thing you want is your home's AC to quit on you. At 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating, our team of comfort specialists take the frustration out of the equation. From simple repairs to more complex fixes, we'll get you cool and comfortable quickly. Just call 928-783-4242 or visit onehouryuma.com.
Always on time, boy, you don't pay a dime. Always on time, boy, you don't pay a dime.
The pay's getting
independently
good.
Owned and operated, licensed in their respective state or county.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/trial. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/trial. ZipRecruiter.com/trial.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU, only the good stuff from the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. As always, at the bottom of the hour, I do have a couple of announcements. We do have a couple of big events coming up as far as our preparing for our fall elections go, or actually it'll be August, the primary's coming. On Tuesday, June 7th, we are going to have a candidate forum for the people running for the Yuma City Council. So there are 8 candidates, and I believe 6 so far have confirmed that they will be there, and I do actually expect that all
only
8 will
6?
Be there. All 8 will be there. I just haven't heard from the other 2 yet, I'm sure. And so that is going to be Tuesday, June 7th at 6 p.m., and that is going to be at the AWC Schoening Center. It is completely free to attend. There's not going to be food or anything. There will be coffee, tea, water, and that kind of stuff for people who choose to attend. But please have dinner before you come. Completely free. No need to register. Just come. As long as there are seats available, you're more than welcome to come and hear what the candidates have to say. If you are looking to ask the candidates a question, we will not be taking any live questions that evening. However, you are more than welcome to submit a question. If you receive our Chamber Happenings newsletter, newsletter. There was a link in that. And very shortly, there will be a link on our website. Check our Facebook page. And there will be a link where you can submit questions in advance. Those questions then will be selected at random for the candidates. And that way, perhaps you can get your question answered. And so, again, completely free as long as space is available. If you're unable to attend or don't want to head out to AWC, although it's a great facility, so I highly recommend it, we will also be doing it on Facebook Live. So that event is already set up on our Facebook page. You can go there and set yourself a reminder so that you can watch it on Facebook Live instead if you prefer. Then on Thursday, June 9th, we will be having the two mayoral candidates at Good Morning Yuma that morning. Very similar format, except for that one, there will be breakfast, just like we always have for Good Morning Yuma. That one is $25 for chamber members and $35 for non-members, provided you register by noon on June 3rd. After that, it's $35 for members and $45 for non-members to attend that morning if you want to be at one of the roundtables with breakfast. We will be setting up a few seats in the back of the room for free for people who do not want to or are unable to purchase the breakfast for that morning, but space will be limited and it is on a first-come, first-served basis. So that starts at 6:30 a.m. on Thursday, June 9th. Same format, same form for the questions as well. So there's actually two locations on the form where you can submit questions in advance. There's one for the city council candidates and one for the mayor candidates. And then on June 22nd, we will be having our next monthly member mixer, and that is going to be at AEA Federal Credit Union at 5:30. It is $5 for members to attend, provided you register by June 17th. After that, it's $10 either in advance or at the door. So hope to see you at one of these upcoming events. And with that, let's get back to our show. And Russ is still here with us. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Jim Schuessler with SBDC. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning again.
Good morning. And I decided to shorten it to SBDC at this point. Hopefully they've been listening long enough to to know what that is.
Otherwise, check us out, azsbdc.net.
So we were kind of talking a little bit before the break, and I'm just kind of thinking back to, I had a friend who started a small business who didn't know what they didn't know. Yeah, well, and you know, and that would be true of anybody unless you have a business background, which most people don't. I mean,
no, most people that we're working with, if they go forward, this is the only business plan they're ever going to write.
Right. And so can you kind of walk me through, like, I have this fabulous idea. I'm going to sell widgets, you know, or make better widgets. How do I even start? How do I reach out to you? You know, because I think I know what I'm doing. And of course, like Russ mentioned earlier, you know, my friend who started her business, she immediately went to advertising. How do I advertise? Not realizing that, I mean, she was still doing her sales out of an Excel spreadsheet.
So the fact that she had already started selling is not a bad thing, because she was finding her price point. Mm-hmm. She was finding her capacity for mm-hmm. production and those sorts of things. So that's not a bad place to start. We see the same thing with the food cottage business. People mm-hmm. making yep. on a small scale, and then they want to scale up. Those are, I hate to say that they're fun. I mean, it's like some are fun and some aren't fun. I think there's fun in every one of these projects, but those really are interesting that you can work with them on the scale up. So we would work to understand their cost of the input costs, mm-hmm. and then making sure that, you know, we're finding an acceptable margin that they're willing. Are you willing to work for this kind of a margin, and then determine the outputs? Where it becomes even more involved is if that scale requires financing. Mm-hmm. And so not every project requires financing. A lot of people just do it out of the pocket. They're doing enough mm-hmm. just to keep happy with what they're doing. But if they do want to scale up, they're really looking at turning this into something that can produce, you know, maybe even employees, mm-hmm. If that skill is required. That's when we start laying some financials underneath them, using their past history as a starting point, and then projecting, looking into the future.
I was going to say, she did it all in her own pocket. I know she did. I mean, I was with her from the day she started her business, and it's now been, I don't know, 7 years, I think.
It's very unlikely that you're going to break yourself by doing something like that, right? Because
right.
you have an understanding of how you got where you got, and maybe you're just content with that. and more power to you. But helping somebody scale up, that's where we can really come in. Or finding efficiencies, because that's an area sometimes that you can find efficiencies in supply chain that that might enhance the profitability of the business too. So we can sometimes help along those lines.
Because I'm finding that maybe I'm, you know, I'm watching her and her creative mind, and the things that she's thinking of are so amazing. And then I sit down with her books and go, oh. You know, because not always, you know, sometimes that the left brain, right brain kind of thing, you know, her right brain is doing amazing things. And then you get to the books and it's not everybody is.
It's very rare to have it all. I mean, that's just a fact. God bless engineers. Where would we be without them? But engineers, what makes them strong sometimes, I kind of joke about this with some of the figs of some of my friends that are engineers. Generally, you don't find those strong marketing chops. You know, you're talking about a totally different side of the brain.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a fact is that there was one exception of somebody that I was dealing with when I was back in Wisconsin. And I'm like, holy cow, you really have the whole package. Not only have you built a better mousetrap, but you actually understand, you know, how to convince people that this is a better mousetrap.
That's rare.
It is so rare. It's so rare. And then you have people that have some of those more artistic skills that don't necessarily have the skills, those engineering skills. So generally, you can help, you know, anyone depending on where they're at. So what you're describing, Kim, is very, very common.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's the interesting part of this business, because no 2 days are the same. No two entrepreneurs are the same. Market conditions change. I mean, no one in 2019 was predicting a pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't believe that.
It's still changing rapidly.
It is. It absolutely is.
And do you, obviously you have to talk about that, about what the current conditions are on inflation, the current conditions as far as where we're going to be in a year.
And hopefully this is going to come to reality. When I was still working on the Multiversity Project, there were some organizations that are working on something through the Economic Development Administration for a Build Back Better grant challenge. So some parties in Tucson, GYEDC was involved here. Mm-hmm. And I was, because of the multiversity, I was pulled in the loop on the discussions. And something that I really feel is deficient here is we don't have anything here called a revolving loan fund. And that's something that, where I served elsewhere, we had a lot of capacity. So a revolving loan fund is generally funded by a federal organization. It's confined money, and there's specific rules depending on how the money is procured, but it can help achieve gap financing for small businesses. So that proposal has gone into that Build Back Better. Tucson has done a great job. The folks in Tucson have done a great job leading that.
Can
create for the Yuma region its own revolving loan fund in its own right.
When you say Build Back Better, you're not talking about the legislation that was never passed.
Oh, it was. So Build Back Better is...
Pieces of it.
There is a Build Back Better proposal fund through the Economic Development Administration. Mm-hmm. We'll probably find by the end of the year which proposals were funded.
Okay.
So the Southern Arizona proposal is based on sustainability, kind of an issue here, you know, scarcity of natural resources.
And these are in forms of grants or in forms of loans?
Grants.
Okay.
That proposal is in the tens of millions of dollars that was done by this consortium of, you know, Southern Arizona from one end to the other is
and when would you get details on those kinds of things?
So those proposals, when do we know that they were available?
Well, when do you get details on what the qualifications are for the grants and to be able to apply?
So that proposal has already gone out.
Yeah, okay. It's already been applied for because because the chamber, we did a support letter for
it. So this revolving loan fund, if it becomes a reality, there'll be certain protocols that have to be followed. You know, I managed about $7 million worth of revolving loan funds when I was working for the EDO up in Wisconsin. Those funds here will have certain rules and regulations.
When you say apply, you've applied as an organization to administer funds.
I was not the organization that applied. GYDC, I think.
GYDC applied. So those funds will be managed by them, but then I guess I'm more interested in the application to be able to have a business access those funds. And those rules haven't
been. They have not been.
Okay. Yeah, since they don't even have the funds, they don't even know if they've been selected for the funds yet.
So let's say that happens, that revolving loan fund grant is approved. So that is then going to be held by an organization that's going to have a board. There'll be specific rules and requirements for it. And then the funds will be processed out of there as loans.
As loans.
They will be loans. There'll be certain criteria. Sometimes there's job creation criteria. Sometimes there's investment infrastructure, that sort of thing criteria. It depends on how the funds were procured. But it's something that if it lands here, is going to create another facet of opportunity. And your original question was what are we looking at? So one of the things that I had suggested that it was something we just don't have here that does exist elsewhere in Arizona. And B, I'm seeing interest rates go up, which is going to put a pinch down on entrepreneurs and funding programs.
And that was my next question. Of course, banks do that. That's what banks do. Right. But you're looking to help somebody that may not qualify or wouldn't fit a need for a bank.
Traditionally, those funds would not fund 100% of the project.
Never do.
But let's say that we've got a project that's, I'm going to use really basic numbers, it's a $10,000 project.
Okay.
And the bank will only loan $8,000 for that $10,000 for good reason.
All right.
The entrepreneur has $1,000. Okay. Right. So now there's a $10,000 gap. That entrepreneur could apply to the revolving loan fund administration for that $1,000. The bank would look at that $1,000, depending on how the deal is structured, as equity. So that $1,000 is protected by the bank. So they are still funding $8,000.
So it won't throw their formulas out of whack because you borrowed another $1,000.
Exactly right.
Okay.
And I am really providing this in a very simple format.
Yep.
Not that it's brain surgery when it gets to the entrepreneur, don't get me wrong, but it's a real opportunity to help get projects off the ground that might not always otherwise get there.
And we have to take a break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
For many, advertising is a daunting task. What do I say to stand out? How do I carve out a place in a crowded market? To stand out, you have to craft a message that will surprise or delight your customers. Something that makes you unique or serves a specific purpose. Unfortunately, most advertising messages are typical and boring, therefore often overlooked or flat out ignored. But there is help for your business. Book an appointment with one of our marketing experts right now. Go to yumaadvertising.com and take the first step toward marketing success.
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel.
Babbel's lessons are fun. They only take like 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks, presto, you're speaking another language, like magic.
I love that Babbel's lessons aren't just robots talking. They're voiced by native speakers, so you get the pronunciation just right.
If you want to learn a language, there's no faster, easier, better way than
Babbel.
Babbel.
Babbel. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And we, of course, have Russ Clark. Good morning, Russ. And we have Jim Schussler with SBDC. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Good morning. And so with one segment left, what would you want to everybody to know about SBDC and what's coming?
I want them to know that they should be pleased that Arizona Western College is really stepping up so that that we can up our game with best practices and pointed toward the future so that we've got the best systems, the best resources available to serve clients into the future. And it's a significant thing for us to be able to accomplish that. We're trying to move years ahead in weeks and maybe a couple months. And so I think that they will find, you know, going forward, that we're poised toward the future and looking at providing even more services than we have in the past. There are some systems that the SBDC invests in on a statewide basis that just hadn't yet been deployed, and so we're working at deploying some of those systems.
I mean, one of the things services. That, I mean, if I can give a plug for AWC, one of the things
no,
that,
you can't.
Well, too bad, is that, you know, in coming here and having been here now almost 2 years and working with AWC, I've been very impressed over the last 2 years at how focused they are on, rather than just graduating people with whatever, they're very focused on, we want our programs to make sure that our students are filling the gaps that our businesses need, as well as have the skills that our businesses need when they leave our school. I mean, they're very focused on what they're going to need to be hired when they get out, and what jobs are even available when they get out. That's hugely impressive to me.
It's crucial. It's crucial to do that because, and I was hearing some of this working on the Multiversity Project, is making sure that the companies that we have, especially along skilled talent pipelines, mm-hmm. is crucial, and then pointing toward where their future needs are. Because the fact is, and this is just a reality in the numbers, is especially Yuma, its growth has slowed dramatically. San Luis, you know, is growing rapidly, one of the fastest growing communities in our state, and we're very fortunate to have young, vibrant, you know, growing mm-hmm. communities. But that's something that we've really got to come to grips to, and that means attracting new industry in. Mm-hmm. And that new industry will be attracted along with skilled talent.
Mm-hmm.
And AWC is the core to that. They're the key to that. We're also fortunate to have ASU, NAU, and UA Yuma here as assets. Tanya Hodges said yesterday, and she'll give me a heck if I get this wrong, but I think there are about 35 now full majors that you can get here through
mm-hmm.
One of those 3-4-year universities that offer their educational services in our area. And that's a big deal. And taking it back to the importance of what you're talking about in AWC and mm-hmm. being employer focused.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just really impressed every time I go out there. I mean, it's not my community college. I mean, when I grew up, the community college was very different than what AWC is doing out there.
We have a real opportunity in our region, and that is that Maricopa County is knocking the cover off the ball. And I love it. I love mm-hmm. it. They're executing a brilliant economic development strategy, and we absolutely can grow our communities
mm-hmm.
and grow the companies that we have in our area by tapping into that success along the supply chain. So I've heard people from time to time talk about the state of Maricopa. I look at it completely different. I look at it as really a honey hole for us to latch on to.
To abuse.
But you know, Maricopa isn't a fit for everybody. It's not. Some industries are going to find that Yuma County is a better fit for them.
Well, and frankly, there's been so much growth there that's not for everybody either. I remember mm-hmm. the great old days, and this is showing my age a little bit. My wife and I'd go to Scottsdale 30 years ago and have a great time, and today I don't recognize it. And it's really not my cup of tea.
It's grown.
You know, and it is for a lot of people, yeah. but it just doesn't happen to be for me. So I don't think that Yuma, San Luis, Somerton, Welton, I don't think we have to lose, you know, what we have, which mm-hmm. is which is a bit slower pace of life, mm-hmm. less congestion, you know, with our roads, but still be attractive to industry and make sure that we're growing.
Well, and some of that's what attracted me here because, you know, I come from up there. And some of what attracted me was I don't have an hour commute to work anymore.
Exactly.
I mean, that's huge, especially now with gas prices the way they are. And yeah, I'm not sitting in traffic wasting my gas for 45 minutes.
Yeah, I don't ever imagine, you know, going back to that life either. You know, that was one of the great things about leaving the broadcasting career behind.
I think it's not a secret anymore. I think people are understanding the quality of life of rural America because this whole COVID thing caused a change in our employment for a lot of these businesses where you can work from home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of a sudden home doesn't have to be in the state you're working. And that is starting to happen now. And even in Yuma, people are showing up here that have jobs in California
Mm-hmm. Well, and not everyone's an early adopter of technology. And I use Zoom a lot more efficiently than I would have, you know, had there not been a pandemic to force it in some of the work that that's simply what it took to get it done.
Yeah.
And you can get a lot done. Talk about the price of fuel. You can get a lot done and not having to make those commutes, not having to make those drives. And quite often that I'd heard these issues, all those meetings were held in Phoenix or elsewhere, and Yuma was always having to travel. Mm-hmm. And now it's not a necessity. Now you can really participate in that Growing Our Own symposium yesterday. There were about 50 individuals participating virtually.
I would be one of them.
Yeah.
I was, because we were on our way home from Phoenix, but I still wanted to attend.
Perfect
and
thing
so,
to do, right?
And so I've got my phone set up. I've got the Zoom app on my phone and was able to participate even though I was on the road. Yeah. I was not driving. My husband was driving. I guess I should preface that.
We believe you.
I hope so.
I was in the passenger
seat. Just in case Sheriff Wilmot's listening.
I know.
Because people think they can multitask. They can't multitask.
No, I did not try to multitask. Now, my husband did then listen in on the meeting because it was coming through the car speakers. But
sure. It was a fascinating meeting, and I'm appreciative of Tanya Hodges and the folks at UA Yuma for making that happen.
But that was great because then I didn't feel like I had to rush home. And I wouldn't have made it otherwise. And so this way I was still able to get the benefit of that meeting, even though I was on my way home from Phoenix.
Russ, kind of going back to one of the questions you asked earlier, is just a bit of a take on that, is some of the data that we saw coming through the YMVC, just a fraction of it was presented yesterday, phase two, the feasibility study, business plan, the structure, was the fact that there's a much greater need here for entrepreneurial support.
Yep.
So, I mean, I had that in my mind when AWC reached out to me about the opportunity, and it felt like a lane, you know, where I might be able to help serve, but it means that we have to make sure we've got the team that we've got is great. We are planning on adding to our team and making sure that we're all well-trained.
And you don't just handle people that are looking to become entrepreneurs, but entrepreneurs that have been there for decades.
Absolutely.
That want to expand, be better at what they're doing.
Or they're in a ditch, you know, right?
In a ditch, whatever it is. But I know a lot of these guys, and a lot of them, you know, they're farming, you know, just as doing half of what they know now. Why would they want to know more information? You know, they get caught in a rut, and they don't know what they don't know, essentially, and they're not going to come knock on your door.
The trouble that can come with that, and you know, we do referrals, or we recommend that people refer people to us, and so we reach out to certain professionals in the region, make them aware of our services, what we're up to, what we're investing in, what new systems that we're bringing online, what new resources we have to work with. And say, hey, if you know of anybody that's in these circumstances, kick them over to us. You know,
it'd be hard for me to find one that isn't.
Yeah. So, so those are opportunities. Not everybody follows through on it, but from a business owner standpoint, is attrition is just a reality.
Yeah.
I talk about the population change here. Census reveal that Yuma, its growth has slowed dramatically, and it's getting older, and so that can be tough if that continues, because how are we going to get certain services done if we do not keep building? You know,
we have to train our old people to do it. get out of that retirement.
But you know what? I guess I consider myself a lifelong learner. I like to take classes, and I kind of feel like it's, you know, let's say they come talk to you. What's the worst thing that happens? They spent, you know, 20 minutes or whatever.
They wasted an
hour. I'll never get that hour back happened.
Well, okay, but I mean, but you know what? Even if you pick up one or two tips that make you more efficient, maybe not necessarily grow, but make you more efficient, isn't it worth it?
A lot of these guys don't even know they have a problem, though. Mm-hmm. They know they're in a rut, but they don't know it's a problem easily fixed, or they would have already done it. But sometimes you need an outside. You know, in a previous business, and it was more of a franchise thing, we would meet annually with people from all over the country. And that's where you really sit down and learn, too, from people doing the same business. And they say, well, how are you handling your cores or something? I said, well, you know, when you start finding out, That's where the money's made, in handling cores effectively, handling returns effectively, handling things you don't think about. It's not the core business because I sell auto parts. The core business is that, but the way you make money is all the peripherals.
So there's an example where you're bringing each other up. Yeah. And that's, I think, something that's really important is talking about best practices and using those things to bring each other up. The last thing you want to do is have people pulling each other down.
Right.
And when folks are in a rut, sometimes they can be surrounded by people that are kind of in a rut and pull each other down. That's a real opportunity, and that's why you have, you know, those national conferences to get people together. SBDC does the same thing. There's a conference this fall. This year it's just over in San Diego. And again, talking about best practices and the systems and how best to use the systems and the programming that we have to bring people up.
Yeah. And I don't know that they look at you in the same tone, but they should. Because those things and best practices that I may learn at a conference, you're going to give insight to just at there. And some of it's not rocket science. Some of it's basics that maybe you lost track of because you're so busy doing the job, you forgot about the best practice.
Something I should add is that don't always expect after that 20 minutes or an hour or whatever it is, usually doesn't exceed an hour, is don't expect it all to happen right there.
Yeah. You need to take a break because you're done for the day.
Well
hope they didn't let you down.
Yeah, there we go. No, you did great. A
few things. We're in Somerton at the Somerton once a month at the library. And we're in San Luis at the library the Thursday from 2 to 4 p.m., plus the main library here in Yuma every Tuesday afternoon.
And with that, we have to go. You've been listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU,
from the one-hour air conditioning and
Eldorado
heating studio,
LLC,
this is News Talk 560 KBLU,
Yuma. Nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.